I dragged myself up from the stairs and followed after them as they disappeared into the house. I wasn't sure why. Just morbid curiosity, maybe. It was like a horror movie. Monsters and blood all over the place. Maybe I just couldn't resist another hit of my dwindling drug supply. Bella lay flat on the hospital bed, her belly a mountain under the sheet. She looked like wax, colorless and sort of see-through. You'd think she was already dead, except for the tiny movement of her chest, her shallow breathing. And then her eyes, following the four of us with exhausted suspicion. The others were at her side already, flitting across the room with sudden darting motions. It was creepy to watch. I ambled along at a slow walk. "What's going on?" Bella demanded in a scratchy whisper. Her waxy hand twitched up, like she was trying to protect her balloon-shaped stomach. "Jacob had an idea that might help you," Carlyle said. "I wished you would leave me out of it. I hadn't suggested anything. Give the credit to her blood-sucking husband where it belonged."
"It won't be pleasant, but..."
"But it will help the baby,"
Rosalie interrupted eagerly.
"We've thought of a better way to feed him, maybe."
Bella's eyelids fluttered. Then she coughed out a weak chuckle.
"Not pleasant?" she whispered. "Gosh, that'll be such a change."
She eyed the tube stuck into her arm and coughed again. Blondie laughed with her. The girl looked like she only had hours left, and she had to be in pain, but she was making jokes. So Bella, trying to ease the tension, make it better for everyone else. Edward stepped around Rosalie, no humor touching his intense expression. I was glad for that. It helped, just a little bit, that he was suffering worse than me. He took her hand, not the one that was still protecting her swollen belly.
"Bella, love, we're going to ask you to do something monstrous," he said, using the same adjectives he'd offered me. "Repulsive."
Well, at least he was giving it to her straight. She took a shallow, fluttery breath.
"How bad?"
Carlyle answered.
"We think the fetus might have an appetite closer to ours than to yours. We think it's thirsty."
She blinked.
"Oh. Oh."
"Your condition, both of your conditions, are deteriorating rapidly. We don't have time to waste to come up with more palatable ways to do this. The fastest way to test the theory."
"I've got to drink it,"
she whispered. She nodded slightly, barely enough energy for a little head bob.
"I can do that. Practice for the future, right?"
Her colorless lips stretched into a faint grin as she looked at Edward. He didn't smile back. Rosalie started tapping her toe impatiently. The sound was really irritating. I wondered what she would do if I threw her through a wall right now.
"So, who's going to catch me a grizzly bear?"
Bella whispered. Carlyle and Edward exchanged a quick glance. Rosalie stopped tapping.
"What?"
Bella asked.
"It will be a more effective test if we don't cut corners, Bella," Carlyle said. "If the fetus is craving blood," Edward explained, "it's not craving animal blood."
"It won't make a difference to you, Bella. Don't think about it,"
Rosalie encouraged. Bella's eyes widened.
"Who?"
she breathed, and her gaze flickered to me. "I'm not here as a donor, Bells," I grumbled. "Besides, it's human blood that thing's after, and I don't think mine applies."
"We have blood on hand,"
Rosalie told her, talking over me before I'd finished, like I wasn't there.
"For you, just in case. Don't worry about anything at all. It's going to be fine. I have a good feeling about this, Bella. I think the baby will be so much better."
Bella's hand ran across her stomach.
"Well,"
she rasped, barely audible,
"I'm starving, so I'll bet he is too."
Trying to make another joke.
"Let's go for it. My first vampire act."
Chapter 13. Good thing I've got a strong stomach. Carlyle and Rosalie were off in a flash, darting upstairs. I could hear them debating whether they should warm it up for her. Ugh! I wondered what all House of Horror stuff they kept around here. Fridge full of blood? Check. What else? Torture chamber? Coffin room? Edward stayed, holding Bella's hand. His face was dead again. He didn't seem to have the energy to keep up even that little hint of hope he'd had before. They stared into each other's eyes, but not in a gooey way. It was like they were having a conversation. Kind of reminded me of Sam and Emily. No, it wasn't gooey. But that only made it harder to watch. I knew what it was like for Leah, having to see that all the time. Having to hear it in Sam's head. Of course, we all felt bad for her. We weren't monsters. In that sense, anyway. But I guess we'd blamed her for how she handled it. Lashing out at everyone, trying to make us all as miserable as she was. I would never blame her again. How could anyone help spreading this kind of misery around? How could anyone not try to ease some of the burden by shoving a little piece of it off on someone else? And if it meant that I had to have a pack, how could I blame her for taking my freedom? I would do the same. If there was a way to escape this pain, I'd take it too. Rosalie darted downstairs after a second, flying through the room like a sharp breeze, stirring up the burning smell. She stopped inside the kitchen, and I heard the creak of a cupboard door. "Not clear, Rosalie," Edward murmured. He rolled his eyes. Bella looked curious, but Edward just shook his head at her. Rosalie blew back through the room and disappeared again.
"This was your idea?"
Bella whispered, her voice rough as she strained to make it loud enough for me to hear, forgetting that I could hear just fine. I kind of liked how, a lot of the time, she seemed to forget that I wasn't completely human. I moved closer, so that she wouldn't have to work so hard. "Don't blame me for this one. Your vampire was just picking snide comments out of my head." She smiled a little.
"I didn't expect to see you again."
"Yeah, me either," I said. It felt weird just standing here, but the vampires had shoved all the furniture out of the way for the medical setup. I imagined that it didn't bother them. Sitting or standing didn't make much difference when you were stone. Wouldn't bother me much either, except that I was so exhausted.
"Edward told me what you had to do. I'm sorry."
"It's okay. It was probably only a matter of time till I snapped over something Sam wanted me to do," I lied.
"And Seth?"
she whispered. "He's actually happy to help."
"I hate causing you trouble."
I laughed once. More a bark than a laugh. She breathed a faint sigh.
"I guess that's nothing new, is it?"
"No, not really."
"You don't have to stay and watch this,"
she said, barely mouthing the words. I could leave. It was probably a good idea. But if I did, with the way she looked right now, I could be missing the last 15 minutes of her life. "I don't really have anywhere else to go," I told her, trying to keep the emotion out of my voice. "The wolf thing is a lot less appealing since Leah joined up."
"Leah?"
she gasped. "You didn't tell her?" I asked Edward. He just shrugged without moving his eyes from her face. I could see it wasn't very exciting news to him, not something worth sharing with the more important events that were going down. Bella didn't take it so lightly. It looked like it was bad news to her.
"Why?"
she breathed. I didn't want to get into the whole novel-length version. "To keep an eye on Seth."
"But Leah hates us," she whispered.
"Us. Nice." I could see that she was afraid, though. "Leah's not going to bug anyone. But me. She's in my pack." I grimaced at the words. "So she follows my lead." "Ugh." Bella didn't look convinced. "You're scared of Leah, but you're best buds with the psychopath blonde?" There was a low hiss from the second floor. Cool, she'd heard me. Bella frowned at me.
"Don't. Rose, understands.
Yeah, I grunted. She understands that you're gonna die and she doesn't care, so long as she gets her mutant spawn out of the deal.
Stop being a jerk, Jacob,
she whispered. She looked too weak to get mad at. I tried to smile instead. You say that like it's possible. Bella tried not to smile back for a second, but she couldn't help it in the end. Her chalky lips pulled up at the corners. And then Carlyle and the psycho in question were there. Carlyle had a white plastic cup in his hand, the kind with a lid and a bendy straw. Oh, not clear. Now I got it. Edward didn't want Bella to have to think about what she was doing any more than necessary. You couldn't see what was in the cup at all, but I could smell it. Carlyle hesitated, the hand with the cup half extended. Bella eyed it, looking scared again.
We could try another method, Carlyle said quietly.
No,
Bella whispered.
No, I'll try this first. We don't have time.
At first I thought she'd finally gotten a clue and was worried about herself, but then her hand fluttered feebly against her stomach. Bella reached out and took the cup from him. Her hand shook a little, and I could hear the sloshing from inside. She tried to prop herself up on one elbow, but she could barely lift her head. A whisper of heat brushed down my spine as I saw how frail she'd gotten in less than a day. Rosalie put her arm under Bella's shoulders, supporting her head, too, like you did with a newborn. Blondie was all about the babies.
Thanks,
Bella whispered. Her eyes flickered around at us, still aware enough to feel self-conscious. If she wasn't so drained, I bet she'd have blushed.
Don't mind them, Rosalie murmured.
It made me feel awkward. I should have left when Bella had offered the chance. I didn't belong here, being part of this. I thought about ducking out, but then I realized a move like that would only make this worse for Bella, make it harder for her to go through with it. She'd figure I was too disgusted to stay, which was almost true. Still, while I wasn't going to claim responsibility for this idea, I didn't want to jinx it either. Bella lifted the cup to her face and sniffed at the end of the straw. She flinched and then made a face.
Bella, sweetheart, we can find an easier way, Edward said, holding his hand out for the cup. Plug your nose, Rosalie suggested.
She glared at Edward's hand like she might take a snap at it. I wished she would. I bet Edward wouldn't take that sitting down, and I'd love to see Blondie lose a limb.
No, that's not it. It's just that it...
Bella sucked in a deep breath.
It smells good,
she admitted in a tiny voice. I swallowed hard, fighting to keep the disgust off my face.
That's a good thing,
Rosalie told Bella eagerly.
That means we're on the right track. Give it a try.
Given Blondie's new expression, I was surprised she didn't break into a touchdown dance. Bella shoved the straw between her lips, squeezed her eyes shut, and wrinkled her nose. I could hear the blood slopping around in the cup again as her hand shook. She sipped at it for a second, and then moaned quietly with her eyes still closed. Edward and I stepped forward at the same time. He touched her face. I clenched my hands behind my back.
Bella, love. I'm okay, she whispered.
She opened her eyes and stared up at him. Her expression was apologetic, pleading, scared.
It tastes good, too.
Acid churned in my stomach, threatening to overflow. I ground my teeth together.
That's good,
Blondie repeated, still jazzed.
A good sign.
Edward just pressed his hand to her cheek, curling his fingers around the shape of her fragile bones. Bella sighed and put her lips to the straw again. She took a real pull this time. The action wasn't as weak as everything else about her, like some instinct was taking over.
How's your stomach? Do you feel nauseated?
Carlyle asked. Bella shook her head.
No, I don't feel sick,
she whispered.
There's a first, huh?
Rosalie beamed.
Excellent.
I think it's a bit early for that, Rose, Carlyle murmured. Bella gulped another mouthful of blood. Then she flashed a look at Edward.
Does this screw my total?
She whispered.
Or do we start counting after I'm a vampire?
No one is counting, Bella. In any case, no one died for this. He smiled a lifeless smile. Your record is still clean. They'd lost me.
I'll explain later,
Edward said, so low the words were just a breath.
What?
Bella whispered.
Just talking to myself,
he lied smoothly. If he succeeded with this, if Bella lived, Edward wasn't going to be able to get away with so much when her senses were as sharp as his. He'd have to work on the honesty thing. Edward's lips twitched, fighting a smile. Bella chugged a few more ounces, staring past us toward the window, probably pretending we weren't here, or maybe just me. No one else in this group would be disgusted by what she was doing. Just the opposite. They were probably having a tough time not ripping the cup away from her. Edward rolled his eyes. Jeez, how did anyone stand living with him? It was really too bad he couldn't hear Bella's thoughts. Then he'd annoy the crap out of her, too, and she'd get tired of him. Edward chuckled once. Bella's eyes flicked to him immediately, and she half smiled at the humor in his face. I would guess that wasn't something she'd seen in a while.
Something funny?
She breathed.
Jacob,
he answered. She looked over with another weary smile for me.
Jake's a crack-up,
she agreed. Great. Now I was the court jester. Bada bing, I mumbled in weak rimshot impression. She smiled again, and then took another swig from the cup. I flinched when the straw pulled at empty air, making a loud sucking sound.
I did it,
she said, sounding pleased. Her voice was clearer, rough, but not a whisper for the first time today.
If I keep this down, Carlyle, will you take the needles out of me?
As soon as possible, he promised. Honestly, they aren't doing that much good where they are. Rosalie patted Bella's forehead, and they exchanged a hopeful glance. And anyone could see it. The cup full of human blood had made an immediate difference. Her color was returning. There was a tiny hint of pink in her waxy cheeks. Already she didn't seem to need Rosalie's support so much anymore. Her breathing was easier, and I would swear her heartbeat was stronger, more even. Everything accelerated. That ghost of hope in Edward's eyes had turned into the real thing.
Would you like more?
Rosalie pressed. Bella's shoulders slumped. Edward flashed a glare at Rosalie before he spoke to Bella.
You don't have to drink more right away. Yeah, I know. But I want to,
she admitted glumly. Rosalie pulled her thin, sharp fingers through Bella's lank hair.
You don't need to be embarrassed about that, Bella. Your body has cravings. We all understand that.
Her tone was soothing at first, but then she added harshly,
Anyone who doesn't understand shouldn't be here.
Meant for me, obviously, but I wasn't going to let Blondie get to me. I was glad Bella felt better. So what if the means grossed me out? It wasn't like I'd said anything. Carlyle took the cup from Bella's hand.
I'll be right back.
Bella stared at me while he disappeared.
Jake, you look awful,
she croaked. Look who's talking.
Seriously, when's the last time you slept?
I thought about that for a second. Huh. I'm not actually sure.
Oh, Jake. Now I'm messing with your health, too. Don't be stupid.
I gritted my teeth. She was allowed to kill herself for a monster, but I wasn't allowed to miss a few nights' sleep to watch her do it.
Get some rest, please,
she went on.
There are a few beds upstairs. You're welcome to any of them.
The look on Rosalie's face made it clear that I wasn't welcome to one of them. It made me wonder what sleepless beauty needed a bed for anyway. Was she that possessive of her props? Thanks, Bells. But I'd rather sleep on the ground, away from the stench, you know? She grimaced.
Right.
Carlyle was back then, and Bella reached out for the blood, absent-minded, like she was thinking of something else. With the same distracted expression, she started sucking it down. She really was looking better. She pulled herself forward, being careful of the tubes, and scooted into a sitting position. Rosalie hovered, her hands ready to catch Bella if she sagged. But Bella didn't need her. Taking deep breaths in between swallows, Bella finished the second cup quickly.
How do you feel now? Carlyle asked.
Not sick. Sort of hungry. Only I'm not sure if I'm hungry or thirsty, you know? Carlyle, just look at her,
Rosalie murmured, so smug she should have canary feathers on her lips.
This is obviously what her body wants. She should drink more.
She's still human, Rosalie. She needs food, too. Let's give her a little while to see how this affects her, and then maybe we can try some food again. Does anything sound particularly good to you, Bella?
Eggs,
she said immediately. And then she exchanged a look and a smile with Edward. His smile was brittle, but there was more life on his face than before. I blinked then, and almost forgot how to open my eyes again.
Jacob, Edward murmured, you really should sleep. As Bella said, you're certainly welcome to the accommodations here, though you'd probably be more comfortable outside. Don't worry about anything. I promise I'll find you if there's a need.
Sure, sure, I mumbled. Now that it appeared Bella had a few more hours, I could escape. Go curl up under a tree somewhere, far enough away that the smell couldn't reach me. The bloodsucker would wake me up if something went wrong. He owed me.
I do, Edward agreed.
I nodded, and then put my hand on Bella's. Hers was icy cold. Feel better, I said.
Thanks, Jacob.
She turned her hand over and squeezed mine. I felt the thin band of her wedding ring riding loose on her skinny finger.
Get her a blanket or something, I muttered as I turned for the door.
Before I made it, two howls pierced the still morning air. There was no mistaking the urgency of the tone, no misunderstanding this time.
Damn it, I snarled, and I threw myself through the door. I hurled my body off the porch, letting the fire rip me apart midair. There was a sharp tearing sound as my shorts shredded. Crap! Those were the only clothes I had. Didn't matter now. I landed on paws and took off toward the west.
What is it? I shouted in my head.
Incoming, Seth answered. At least three.
Did they split up?
I'm running the line back to Seth at the speed of light,
Leah promised. I could feel the air huffing through her lungs as she pushed herself to an incredible velocity. The forest whipped around her.
So far, no other point of attack.
Seth, do not challenge them. Wait for me.
They're slowing. Oh, it's so off not being able to hear them. I think...
What?
I think they've stopped.
Waiting for the rest of the pack?
Shh. Feel that?
I absorbed his impressions, the faint, soundless shimmer in the air.
Someone's phasing?
Feels like it, Seth agreed. Leah flew into the small open space where Seth waited. She raked her claws into the dirt, spinning out like a race car.
Got your back, bro.
They're coming, Seth said nervously.
Slow. Walking.
Almost there, I told them. I tried to fly like Leah. It felt horrible being separated from Seth and Leah, with potential danger closer to their end than mine. Wrong. I should be with them, between them and whatever was coming.
Look who's getting all paternal,
Leah thought wryly. Head in the game, Leah.
Four,
Seth decided. Kid had good ears. Three wolves, one man. I made the little clearing then, moving immediately to the point. Seth sighed with relief and then straightened up, already in place at my right shoulder. Leah fell in on my left with a little less enthusiasm.
So now I rank under Seth?
She grumbled to herself.
First come, first served,
Seth thought smugly.
Sides, you were never an Alpha's third before. Still an upgrade. under my baby brother is not an upgrade.
Shh, I complained. I don't care where you stand. Shut up and get ready. They came into view a few seconds later, walking as Seth had thought. Jared in the front, human, hands up. Paul and Quill and Colin on four legs behind him. There was no aggression in their postures. They hung back behind Jared, ears up, alert but calm. But it was weird that Sam would send Colin rather than Embry. That wasn't what I would do if I were sending a diplomacy party into enemy territory. I wouldn't send a kid. I'd send the experienced fighter.
A diversion?
Leah thought. Were Sam, Embry, and Brady making a move alone? That didn't seem likely.
Want me to check? I can run the line and be back in 2 minutes.
Should I warn the Cullens? Seth wondered. What if the point was to divide us? I asked. The Cullens know something's up. They're ready.
Sam wouldn't be so stupid,
Leah whispered, fear jagged in her mind. She was imagining Sam attacking the Cullens with only the two others beside him. No, he wouldn't, I assured her, though I felt a little sick at the image in her head, too. All the while, Jared and the three wolves stared at us, waiting. It was eerie not to hear what Quill and Paul and Colin were saying to one another. Their expressions were blank, unreadable. Jared cleared his throat, and then he nodded to me.
White flag of truce, Jake. We're here to talk.
Think it's true?
Seth asked. Makes sense, but...
Yeah,
Leah agreed.
But...
We didn't relax. Jared frowned.
It would be easier to talk if I could hear you too.
I stared him down. I wasn't going to phase back until I felt better about this situation. Until it made sense. Why Colin? That was the part that had me most worried.
Okay. I guess I'll just talk then, Jared said.
Jake, we want you to come back.
Quill let out a soft whine behind him, seconding the statement.
You've torn our family apart. It's not meant to be this way.
I wasn't exactly in disagreement with that, but it was hardly the point. There were a few unresolved differences of opinion between me and Sam at the moment.
We know that you feel strongly about the situation with the Cullens. We know that's a problem, but this is an overreaction.
Seth growled.
Overreaction? And attacking our allies without warning isn't?
Seth, you ever heard of a poker face? Cool it.
Sorry.
Jared's eyes flickered to Seth and back to me.
Sam is willing to take this slowly, Jacob. He's calmed down, talked to the other elders. They've decided that immediate action is in no one's best interest at this point.
Translation, they've already lost the element of surprise,
Leah thought. It was weird how distinct our joint thinking was. The pack was already Sam's pack, was already them to us. Something outside, an other. It was especially weird to have Leah thinking that way, to have her be a solid part of the us.
Billy and Sue agree with you, Jacob, that we can wait for Bella to be separated from the problem. Killing her is not something any of us feel comfortable with.
Though I'd just given Seth crap for it, I couldn't hold back a small snarl of my own. So they didn't quite feel comfortable with murder, huh?
Jared raised his hands again. Easy, Jake. You know what I mean. The point is we're going to wait and reassess the situation. Decide later if there's a problem with the thing.
Ha!
Leah thought.
What a load.
You don't buy it?
I know what they're thinking, Jake, what Sam's thinking. They're betting on Bella dying anyway, and then they figure you'll be so mad
that I'll lead the attack myself. My ears pressed against my skull. What Leah was guessing sounded pretty spot on, and very possible too. When, if that thing killed Bella, it was going to be easy to forget how I felt about Carlisle's family right now. They would probably look like enemies, like no more than blood-sucking leeches, to me, all over again.
I'll remind you, Seth whispered.
I know you will, kid. Question is whether I'll listen to you.
Jake?
Jared asked. I huffed a sigh. Leah, make a circuit, just to be sure. I'm going to have to talk to him, and I want to be positive there isn't anything else going on while I'm phased.
Give me a break, Jacob. You can phase in front of me. Despite my best efforts, I've seen you naked before. Doesn't do much for me, so no worries.
I'm not trying to protect the innocence of your eyes. I'm trying to protect our backs. Get out of here. Leah snorted once and then launched herself into the forest. I could hear her claws cutting into the soil, pushing her faster. Nudity was an inconvenient but unavoidable part of pack life. We'd all thought nothing of it before Leah came along. Then it got awkward. Leah had average control when it came to her temper. It took her the usual length of time to stop exploding out of her clothes every time she got pissed. We'd all caught a glimpse. And it wasn't like she wasn't worth looking at. It was just that it was so not worth it when she caught you thinking about it later. Jared and the others were staring at the place where she disappeared into the brush with wary expressions. "Where's she going?" Jared asked. I ignored him, closing my eyes and pulling myself together again. It felt like the air was trembling around me, shaking out from me in small waves. I lifted myself up on my hind legs, catching the moment just right so that I was fully upright as I shimmered down into my human self.
"Oh," Jared said. "Hey, Jake."
"Hey, Jared.
Thanks for talking to me."
"Yeah.
We want you to come back, man."
Quill whined again. "I don't know if it's that easy, Jared."
"Come home," he said, leaning forward, pleading. "We can sort this out. You don't belong here. Let Seth and Leah come home too."
I laughed. "Right. Like I haven't been begging them to do that from hour one." Seth snorted behind me. Jared assessed that, his eyes cautious again.
"So, what now then?"
I thought that over for a minute while he waited. "I don't know. But I'm not sure things could just go back to normal anyway, Jared. I don't know how it works. It doesn't feel like I can just turn this alpha thing off and on as the mood strikes. It feels sort of permanent."
"You still belong with us."
I raised my eyebrows. "Two alphas can't belong in the same place, Jared. Remember how close it got last night? The instinct is too competitive."
"So are you all just going to hang out with the parasites for the rest of your lives?" he demanded.
"You don't have a home here. You're already out of clothes," he pointed out.
"You gonna stay wolf all the time? You know Leah doesn't like eating that way."
"Leah can do whatever she wants when she gets hungry. She's here by her own choice. I'm not telling anyone what to do." Jared sighed.
"Sam is sorry about what he did to you."
I nodded. "I'm not angry anymore.
But?
But I'm not coming back, not now. We're going to wait and see how it plays out too. And we're going to watch out for the Cullens for as long as that seems necessary. Because, despite what you think, this isn't just about Bella. We're protecting those who should be protected, and that applies to the Cullens too. At least a fair number of them anyway." Seth yelped softly in agreement. Jared frowned.
"I guess there's nothing I can say to you then."
"Not now. We'll see how things go." Jared turned to face Seth, concentrating on him now, separate from me.
"Sue asked me to tell you, no, to beg you, to come home. She's brokenhearted, Seth, all alone. I don't know how you and Leah can do this to her. Abandon her this way, when your dad just barely died."
Seth whimpered. "Ease up, Jared," I warned.
"Just letting him know how it is."
I snorted. "Right." Sue was tougher than anyone I knew. Tougher than my dad. Tougher than me. Tough enough to play on her kids' sympathies if that's what it took to get them home. But it wasn't fair to work Seth that way. "Sue's known about this for how many hours now? And most of that time spent with Billy and old Quill and Sam? Yeah, I'm sure she's just perishing of loneliness. Of course, you're free to go if you want, Seth. You know that." Seth sniffed. Then, a second later, he cocked an ear to the north. Leah must be close. Jeez, she was fast. two beats and Leah skidded to a stop in the brush a few yards away. She trotted in, taking the point in front of Seth. She kept her nose in the air, very obviously not looking in my direction. I appreciated that. "Leah?" Jared asked. She met his gaze, her muzzle pulling back a little over her teeth. Jared didn't seem surprised by her hostility. "Leah, you know you don't want to be here." She snarled at him. I gave her a warning glance she didn't see. Seth whined and nudged her with his shoulder. "Sorry," Jared said. "Guess I shouldn't assume, but you don't have any ties to the Bloodsuckers." Leah very deliberately looked at her brother and then at me. "So you want to watch out for Seth, I get that," Jared said. His eyes touched my face and then went back to hers, probably wondering about that second look, just like I was. "But Jake's not going to let anything happen to him, and he's not afraid to be here." Jared made a face. "Anyway, please, Leah, we want you back. Sam wants you back." Leah's tail twitched. "Sam told me to beg. He told me to literally get down on my knees if I have to. He wants you home, Lily, where you belong." I saw Leah flinch when Jared used Sam's old nickname for her. And then, when he added those last three words, her hackles rose and she was yowling a long stream of snarls through her teeth. I didn't have to be in her head to hear the cussing out she was giving him, and neither did he. You could almost hear the exact words she was using. I waited till she was done. "I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Leah belongs wherever she wants to be." Leah growled, but as she was glaring at Jared, I figured it was an agreement. "Look, Jared, we're still family, okay? We'll get past the feud, but until we do, you probably ought to stick to your land, just so there aren't misunderstandings. Nobody wants a family brawl, right? Sam doesn't want that either, does he?" "Of course not," Jared snapped. "We'll stick to our land. But where is your land, Jacob? Is it vampire land?" "No, Jared. Homeless at the moment. But don't worry, this isn't going to last forever." I had to take a breath. "There's not that much time left, okay? Then the Cullens will probably go, and Seth and Leah will come home." Leah and Seth whined together, their noses turning my direction in synchronization. "And what about you, Jake?" "Back to the forest, I think. I can't really stick around the push. Two alphas means too much tension. Sides, I was headed that way anyway, before this mess."
"What if we need to talk?" Jared asked.
"Howl. But watch the line, okay? We'll come to you. And Sam doesn't need to send so many. We aren't looking for a fight." Jared scowled but nodded. He didn't like me setting conditions for Sam. "See you around, Jake. Or not." He waved half-heartedly. "Wait, Jared. Is Embry okay?" Surprise crossed his face.
"Embry? Sure, he's fine. Why?"
"Just wondering why Sam sent Colin." I watched his reaction, still suspicious that something was going on. I saw knowledge flash in his eyes, but it didn't look like the kind I was expecting.
"That's not really your business anymore, Jake."
"Guess not. Just curious." I saw a twitch from the corner of my eye, but I didn't acknowledge it because I didn't want to give Quill away. He was reacting to the subject.
"I'll let Sam know about your instructions. Goodbye, Jacob."
I sighed. "Yeah. Bye, Jared. Hey, tell my dad that I'm okay, will you? And that I'm sorry. And that I love him."
"I'll pass that along."
"Thanks."
"Come on, guys,"
Jared said. He turned away from us, heading out of sight to FaZe because Leah was here. Paul and Colin were right on his heels, but Quill hesitated. He yelped softly, and I took a step toward him. "Yeah, I miss you too, bro." Quill jogged over to me, his head hanging down morosely. I patted his shoulder. "It'll be okay," he whined. "Tell Embry I miss having you two on my flanks." He nodded and then pressed his nose to my forehead. Leah snorted. Quill looked up, but not at her. He looked back over his shoulder at where the others had gone. "Yeah, go home," I told him. Quill yelped again, and then took off after the others. I'd bet Jared wasn't waiting super patiently. As soon as he was gone, I pulled the warmth from the center of my body and let it surge through my limbs. In a flash of heat, I was on four legs again.
"Thought you were going to make out with him," Leah snickered.
I ignored her. "Was that okay?" I asked them. It worried me, speaking for them that way, when I couldn't hear exactly what they were thinking. I didn't want to assume anything. I didn't want to be like Jared that way. "Did I say anything you didn't want me to? Did I not say something I should have?"
"You did great, Jake," Seth encouraged. "You could have hit Jared," Leah thought. "I wouldn't have minded that."
"I guess we know why Embry wasn't allowed to come," Seth thought. I didn't understand. "Not allowed?
Jake, did you see Quill? He's pretty torn up, right? I'd put 10-1 that Embry's even more upset. And Embry doesn't have a Claire.
There's no way Quill can just pick up and walk away from La Push. Embry might. So Sam's not going to take any chances on him getting convinced to jump ship. He doesn't want our pack any bigger than it is now."
"Really? You think?"
"I doubt Embry would mind shredding some Cullens."
"But he's your best friend, Jake. He and Quill would rather stand behind you than face you in a fight."
"Well, I'm glad Sam kept him home then. This pack is big enough," I sighed. "Okay then, so we're good for now. Seth, you mind keeping an eye on things for a while? Leah and I both need to crash. This felt on the level, but who knows? Maybe it was a distraction." I wasn't always so paranoid, but I remembered the feel of Sam's commitment, the total one-track focus on destroying the danger he saw. Would he take advantage of the fact that he could lie to us now?
"No problem."
Seth was only too eager to do whatever he could.
"You want me to explain to the Cullens? They're probably still kind of tense."
"I got it. I want to check things out anyway." They caught the whir of images from my fried brain. Seth whimpered in surprise.
"Ew."
Leah whipped her head back and forth like she was trying to shake the image out of her mind.
"That is easily the freaking grossest thing I've heard in my life. Yuck. If there was anything in my stomach, it would be coming back."
"They are vampires, I guess,"
Seth allowed after a minute, compensating for Leah's reaction.
"I mean, it makes sense. And if it helps Bella, it's a good thing, right?"
Both Leah and I stared at him.
"What?"
"Mom dropped him a lot when he was a baby,"
Leah told me. "On his head, apparently."
"He used to gnaw on the crib bars, too."
"Lead paint?"
"Looks like it,"
she thought. Seth snorted.
"Funny. Why don't you two shut up and sleep?"
Chapter 14. You know things are bad when you feel guilty for being rude to vampires. When I got back to the house, there was no one waiting outside for my report. Still on alert? "Everything's cool," I thought tiredly. My eyes quickly caught a small change in the now familiar scene. There was a stack of light-colored fabric on the bottom step of the porch. I loped over to investigate, holding my breath because the vampire smell stuck to the fabric like you wouldn't believe. I nudged the stack with my nose. Someone had laid out clothes. Huh. Edward must have caught my moment of irritation as I'd bolted out the door. Well, that was nice. And weird. I took the clothes gingerly between my teeth, ugh, and carried them back to the trees. Just in case this was some joke by the blonde psychopath and I had a bunch of girl stuff here. Bet she'd love to see the look on my human face as I stood there naked holding a sundress. In the cover of the trees, I dropped the stinking pile and shifted back to human. I shook the clothes out, snapping them against a tree to beat some of the smell from them. They were definitely guys' clothes, tan pants and a white button-down shirt. Neither of them long enough, but they looked like they'd fit around me. Must be Emmett's. I rolled the cuffs up on the shirt sleeves, but there wasn't much I could do about the pants. Oh well. I had to admit, I felt better with some clothes to my name, even stinky ones that didn't quite fit. It was hard not being able to just jet back home and grab another pair of old sweatpants when I needed them. The homeless thing again, not having any place to go back to. No possessions either, which wasn't bothering me too bad now, but would probably get annoying soon. Exhausted, I walked slowly up the Collins porch steps in my fancy new secondhand clothes, but hesitated when I got to the door. Did I knock? Stupid, when they knew I was here. I wondered why no one acknowledged that, told me either to come in or get lost. Whatever. I shrugged and let myself in. More changes. The room had shifted back to normal, almost, in the last 20 minutes. The big flat screen was on, low volume, showing some chick flick that no one seemed to be watching. Carlisle and Esme stood by the back windows, which were open to the river again. Alice, Jasper, and Emmett were out of sight, but I heard them murmuring upstairs. Bella was on the couch like yesterday, with just one tube still hooked into her, and an IV hanging behind the back of the sofa. She was wrapped up like a burrito in a couple of thick quilts, so at least they'd listened to me before. Rosalie was cross-legged on the floor by her head. Edward sat at the other end of the couch, with Bella's burritoed feet in his lap. He looked up when I came in and smiled at me, just a little twitch of his mouth, like something pleased him. Bella didn't hear me. She only glanced up when he did, and then she smiled too, with real energy, her whole face lighting up. I couldn't remember the last time she'd looked so excited to see me. What was with her? For crying out loud, she was married. Happily married, too. There was no question that she was in love with her vampire past the boundaries of sanity, and hugely pregnant to top it off. So why did she have to be so damn thrilled to see me? Like I'd made her whole freaking day by walking through the door. If she would just not care, or more than that, really not want me around, it would be so much easier to stay away. Edward seemed to be in agreement with my thoughts. We were on the same wavelength so much lately it was crazy. He was frowning now, reading her face while she beamed at me. "They just wanted to talk," I mumbled, my voice dragging with exhaustion. "No attack on the horizon." "Yes," Edward answered. "I heard most of it." That woke me up a little. We'd been a good 3 miles out.
How?
I'm hearing you more clearly. It's a matter of familiarity and concentration. Also, your thoughts are slightly easier to pick up when you're in your human form, so I caught most of what passed out there.
Oh. It bugged me a little, but for no good reason, so I shrugged it off. Good. I hate repeating myself.
I'd tell you to go get some sleep, Bella said. But my guess is that you're going to pass out on the floor in about 6 seconds, so there's probably no point.
It was amazing how much better she sounded, how much stronger she looked. I smelled fresh blood and saw that the cup was in her hands again. How much blood would it take to keep her going? At some point, would they start trotting in the neighbors? I headed for the door, counting off the seconds for her as I walked. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi.
"Where's the flood, mutt?"
Rosalie muttered. "You know how you drown a blonde, Rosalie?" I asked without stopping or turning to look at her. "Glue a mirror to the bottom of a pool." I heard Edward chuckle as I pulled the door shut. His mood seemed to improve in exact correlation to Bella's health.
"I've already heard that one,"
Rosalie called after me. I trudged down the steps, my only goal to drag myself far enough into the trees that the air would be pure again. I planned to ditch the clothes a convenient distance from the house for future use, rather than tying them to my leg so I wouldn't be smelling them either. As I fumbled with the buttons on the new shirt, I thought randomly about how buttons would never be in style for werewolves. I heard the voices while I slogged across the lawn.
"Where are you going?"
Bella asked.
"There was something I forgot to say to him." "Let Jacob sleep. It can wait."
"Yes, please, let Jacob sleep."
"It will only take a moment."
I turned slowly. Edward was already out the door. He had an apology in his expression as he approached me. "Jeez, what now?"
"I'm sorry," he said, and then he hesitated, like he didn't know how to phrase what he was thinking.
"What's on your mind, mind reader?"
"When you were speaking to Sam's delegates earlier," he murmured, "I was giving a play-by-play for Carlisle and Esme and the rest. They were concerned."
"Look, we're not dropping our guard. You don't have to believe Sam like we do. We're keeping our eyes open regardless."
"No, no, Jacob, not about that. We trust your judgment. Rather, Esme was troubled by the hardships this is putting your pack through. She asked me to speak to you privately about it."
That took me off guard. Hardships?
"The homeless part, particularly. She's very upset that you are all so bereft."
I snorted. Vampire mother hen. Bizarre. "We're tough. Tell her not to worry."
"She'd still like to do what she can. I got the impression that Leah prefers not to eat in her wolf form."
"And?" I demanded.
"Well, we do have normal human food here, Jacob. Keeping up appearances. And of course, for Bella. Leah is welcome to anything she'd like. All of you are."
"I'll pass that along."
"Leah hates us."
"So?"
"So try to pass it along in such a way as to make her considerate, if you don't mind."
"I'll do what I can."
"And then there's the matter of clothes."
I glanced down at the ones I was wearing. "Oh, yeah, thanks." It probably wouldn't be good manners to mention how bad they reeked. He smiled, just a little.
"Well, we're easily able to help out with any needs there. Alice rarely allows us to wear the same thing twice. We've got piles of brand new clothes that are destined for Goodwill, and I'd imagine that Leah is fairly close to Esme's size."
"Not sure how she'll feel about bloodsucker cast-offs. She's not as practical as I am."
"I trust that you can present the offer in the best possible light, as well as the offer for any other physical object you might need, or transportation, or anything else at all. And showers too, since you prefer to sleep outdoors. Please, don't consider yourselves without the benefits of a home."
He said the last line softly, not trying to keep quiet this time, but with some kind of real emotion. I stared at him for a second, blinking sleepily. "That's, nice of you. Tell Esme we appreciate the, thought. But the perimeter cuts through the river in a few places, so we stay pretty clean, thanks."
"If you would pass the offer on, regardless."
"Sure, sure.
Thank you."
I turned away from him, only to stop cold when I heard the low, pained cry from inside the house. By the time I looked back, he was already gone. What now? I followed after him, shuffling like a zombie, using about the same number of brain cells, too. It didn't feel like I had a choice. Something was wrong. I would go see what it was. There would be nothing I could do, and I would feel worse. It seemed inevitable. I let myself in again. Bella was panting, curled over the bulge in the center of her body. Rosalie held her while Edward, Carlisle, and Esme all hovered. A flicker of motion caught my eye. Alice was at the top of the stairs, staring down into the room with her hands pressed to her temples. It was weird, like she was barred from entering somehow.
"Give me a second, Carlisle,"
Bella panted.
"Bella," the doctor said anxiously. "I heard something crack. I need to take a look."
"Pretty sure,"
pant.
"It was a rib. Ow. Yep. Right here."
She pointed to her left side, careful not to touch. It was breaking her bones now.
"I need to take an x-ray. There might be splinters. We don't want it to puncture anything."
Bella took a deep breath.
"Okay."
Rosalie lifted Bella carefully. Edward seemed like he was going to argue, but Rosalie bared her teeth at him and growled,
"I've already got her."
So Bella was stronger now, but the thing was too. You couldn't starve one without starving the other, and healing worked just the same. No way to win. Blondie carried Bella swiftly up the big staircase, with Carlisle and Edward right on her heels, none of them taking any notice of me standing dumbstruck in the doorway. So they had a blood bank and an x-ray machine? Guess the doc brought his work home with him. I was too tired to follow them, too tired to move. I leaned back against the wall and then slid to the ground. The door was still open, and I pointed my nose toward it, grateful for the clean breeze blowing in. I leaned my head against the jamb and listened. I could hear the sound of the x-ray machinery upstairs, or maybe I just assumed that's what it was. And then the lightest of footsteps coming down the stairs. I didn't look to see which vampire it was.
"Do you want a pillow?"
Alice asked me. "No," I mumbled. What was with the pushy hospitality? It was creeping me out.
"That doesn't look comfortable,"
she observed. "It's not."
"Why don't you move, then?"
"Tired. Why aren't you upstairs with the rest of them?" I shot back.
"Headache,"
she answered. I rolled my head around to look at her. Alice was a tiny little thing, about the size of one of my arms. She looked even smaller now, sort of hunched in on herself. Her small face was pinched. "Vampires get headaches?"
"Not the normal ones,"
I snorted. "Normal vampires. So how come you're never with Bella anymore?" I asked, making the question an accusation. It hadn't occurred to me before, because my head had been full of other crap, but it was weird that Alice was never around Bella, not since I'd been here. Maybe if Alice were by her side, Rosalie wouldn't be. "Thought you two were like this." I twisted two of my fingers together.
"Like I said."
She curled up on the tile a few feet from me, wrapping her skinny arms around her skinny knees.
"Headache."
"Bella's giving you a headache?"
"Yes."
I frowned. Pretty sure I was too tired for riddles. I let my head roll back around toward the fresh air and closed my eyes.
"Not Bella, really,"
she amended.
"The fetus."
Ah, someone else who felt like I did. It was pretty easy to recognize. She said the word grudgingly, the way Edward did.
"I can't see it,"
she told me, though she might have been talking to herself. For all she knew, I was already gone.
"I can't see anything about it, just like you."
I flinched, and then my teeth ground together. I didn't like being compared to the creature.
"Bella gets in the way. She's all wrapped around it, so she's blurry. Like bad reception on a TV. Like trying to focus your eyes on those fuzzy people jerking around on the screen. It's killing my head to watch her. And I can't see more than a few minutes ahead anyway. The fetus is too much a part of her future. When she first decided, when she knew she wanted it, she blurred right out of my sight, scared me to death."
She was quiet for a second, and then she added,
"I have to admit, it's a relief having you close by. In spite of the wet dog smell, everything goes away. Like having my eyes closed, it numbs the headache."
"Happy to be of service, ma'am," I mumbled.
"I wonder what it has in common with you, why you're the same that way."
Sudden heat flashed in the center of my bones. I clenched my fists to hold off the tremors. "I have nothing in common with that life sucker," I said through my teeth.
"Well, there's something there."
I didn't answer. The heat was already burning away. I was too dead tired to stay furious.
"You don't mind if I sit here by you, do you?"
she asked. "Guess not. Stinks anyway."
"Thanks," she said. "This is the best thing for it, I guess, since I can't take aspirin."
"Could you keep it down? Sleeping here." She didn't respond, immediately lapsing into silence. I was out in seconds. I was dreaming that I was really thirsty, and there was a big glass of water in front of me. All cold, you could see the condensation running down the sides. I grabbed the cup and took a huge gulp, only to find out pretty quick that it wasn't water, it was straight bleach. I choked it back out, spewing it everywhere, and a bunch of it blew out of my nose. It burned. My nose was on fire. The pain in my nose woke me up, enough to remember where I'd fallen asleep. The smell was pretty fierce, considering that my nose wasn't actually inside the house. Ugh! And it was noisy. Someone was laughing too loud. A familiar laugh, but one that didn't go with the smell. Didn't belong. I groaned and opened my eyes. The skies were dull gray. It was daytime, but no clue as to when. Maybe close to sunset. It was pretty dark.
About time,
Blondie mumbled from not too far away.
The chainsaw impersonation was getting a little tired.
I rolled over and wrenched myself into a sitting position. In the process, I figured out where the smell was coming from. Someone had stuffed a wide feather pillow under my face, probably trying to be nice, I'd guess, unless it had been Rosalie. Once my face was out of the stinking feathers, I caught other scents, like bacon and cinnamon, all mixed up with the vampire smell. I blinked, taking in the room. Things hadn't changed too much, except that now Bella was sitting up in the middle of the sofa, and the IV was gone. Blondie sat at her feet, her head resting against Bella's knees. Still gave me chills to see how casually they touched her, though I guess that was pretty brain-dead, all things considered. Edward was on one side of her, holding her hand. Alice was on the floor too, like Rosalie. Her face wasn't pinched up now, and it was easy to see why. She'd found another painkiller.
"Hey, Jake's coming around," Seth crowed.
He was sitting on Bella's other side, his arm slung carelessly over her shoulders, an overflowing plate of food on his lap. "What the hell?"
"He came to find you," Edward said while I got to my feet. "And Esme convinced him to stay for breakfast."
Seth took in my expression, and he hurried to explain.
"Yeah, Jake, I was just checking to see if you were okay, 'cause you didn't ever phase back. Leah got worried. I told her you probably just crashed human, but you know how she is. Anyway, they had all this food and dang," he turned to Edward. "Man, you can cook."
"Thank you," Edward murmured. I inhaled slowly, trying to unclench my teeth. I couldn't take my eyes off Seth's arm.
"Bella got cold," Edward said quietly.
"Right. None of my business, anyway. She didn't belong to me." Seth heard Edward's comment, looked at my face, and suddenly he needed both hands to eat with. He took his arm off Bella and dug in. I walked over to stand a few feet from the couch, still trying to get my bearings. "Leah running patrol?" I asked Seth. My voice was still thick with sleep.
"Yeah,"
he said as he chewed. Seth had new clothes on too. They fit him better than mine fit me.
"She's on it, no worries. She'll howl if there's anything. We traded off around midnight. I ran 12 hours.
He was proud of that, and it showed in his tone. "Midnight? Wait a minute, what time is it now?"
"About dawn."
He glanced toward the window, checking. "Well, damn. I'd slept through the rest of the day and the whole night. Dropped the ball." "Crap, sorry about that, Seth. Really, you should have kicked me awake."
"No, man, you needed some serious sleep. You haven't taken a break since when? Night before your last patrol for Sam? Like, 40 hours? 50? You're not a machine, Jake. Besides, you didn't miss anything at all."
"Nothing at all?" I glanced quickly at Bella. Her color was back to the way I remembered it. Pale, but with the rose undertone. Her lips were pink again. Even her hair looked better, shinier. She saw me appraising and gave me a grin. "How's the rib?" I asked.
"Taped up, nice and tight. I don't even feel it."
I rolled my eyes. I heard Edward grind his teeth together, and I figured her blow-it-off attitude bugged him as much as it bugged me. "What's for breakfast?" I asked, a little sarcastic. "O negative or AB positive?" She stuck her tongue out at me, totally herself again.
"Omelets," she said.
But her eyes darted down, and I saw that her cup of blood was wedged between her leg and Edward's.
"Go get some breakfast, Jake," Seth said. "There's a bunch in the kitchen. You've got to be empty."
I examined the food in his lap. Looked like half a cheese omelet and the last fourth of a frisbee-sized cinnamon roll. My stomach growled, but I ignored it. "What's Leah having for breakfast?" I asked Seth critically.
"Hey, I took food to her before I ate anything," he defended himself. "She said she'd rather eat roadkill, but I bet she caves. These cinnamon rolls?"
He seemed at a loss for words. I'll go hunt with her then.
Seth sighed as I turned to leave.
A moment, Jacob?
It was Carlyle asking, so when I turned around again, my face was probably less disrespectful than it would have been if anyone else had stopped me.
Yeah?
Carlyle approached me while Esme drifted off toward the other room. He stopped a few feet away, just a little bit farther away than the normal space between two humans having a conversation. I appreciated him giving me my space.
Speaking of hunting, he began in a somber tone, that's going to be an issue for my family. I understand that our previous truce is inoperative at the moment, so I wanted your advice. Will Sam be hunting for us outside of the perimeter you've created? We don't want to take a chance with hurting any of your family or losing any of ours. If you were in our shoes, how would you proceed?
I leaned away, a little surprised, when he threw it back at me like that. What would I know about being in a bloodsucker's expensive shoes? But then again, I did know Sam. It's a risk, I said, trying to ignore the other eyes I felt on me and to talk only to him. Sam's calmed down some, but I'm pretty sure that in his head, the treaty is void. As long as he thinks the tribe or any other human is in real danger, he's not going to ask questions first, if you know what I mean. But with all that, his priority is going to be LaPush. There really aren't enough of them to keep a decent watch on the people while putting out hunting parties big enough to do much damage. I'd bet he's keeping it close to home. Carlyle nodded thoughtfully. So, I guess I'd say go out together, just in case. And probably you should go in the day, because we'd be expecting night. Traditional vampire stuff. You're fast. Go over the mountains and hunt far enough away that there's no chance he'd send anyone that far from home.
And leave Bella behind, unprotected?
I snorted. What are we, chop liver?
Carlyle laughed, and then his face was serious again.
Jacob, you can't fight against your brothers.
My eyes tightened.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be hard, but if they were really coming to kill her, I would be able to stop them.
Carlyle shook his head, anxious.
No, I didn't mean that you would be incapable, but that it would be very wrong. I can't have that on my conscience.
It wouldn't be on yours, Doc. It would be on mine, and I can take it.
No, Jacob. We will make sure that our actions don't make that a necessity.
He frowned thoughtfully.
We'll go three at a time, he decided after a second. That's probably the best we can do.
I don't know, Doc. Dividing down the middle isn't the best strategy.
We've got some extra abilities that will even it up. If Edward is one of the three, he'll be able to give us a few miles radius of safety.
We both glanced at Edward. His expression had Carlyle backtracking quickly.
I'm sure there are other ways too, Carlyle said.
Clearly, there was no physical need strong enough to get Edward away from Bella now.
Alice, I would imagine you could see which routes would be a mistake.
The ones that disappear,
Alice said, nodding.
Easy.
Edward, who had gone all tense with Carlyle's first plan, loosened up. Bella was staring unhappily at Alice, that little crease between her eyes that she got when she was stressed out.
Okay, then, I said. That's settled. I'll just be on my way. Seth, I'll expect you back on at dusk, so get a nap in there somewhere, all right?
Sure, Jake. I'll phase back soon as I'm done, unless...
He hesitated, looking at Bella.
Do you need me?
She's got blankets, I snapped at him.
I'm fine, Seth, thanks, Bella said quickly.
And then Esme flitted back in the room, a big covered dish in her hands. She stopped hesitantly just behind Carlyle's elbow, her wide, dark, gold eyes on my face. She held the dish out and took a shy step closer.
Jacob,
she said quietly. Her voice wasn't quite so piercing as the others.
I know it's unappetizing to you, the idea of eating here where it smells so unpleasant, but I would feel much better if you would take some food with you when you go. I know you can't go home, and that's because of us. Please, ease some of my remorse. Take something to eat.
She held the food out to me, her face all soft and pleading. I don't know how she did it,
because she didn't look older than her mid-20s, and she was bone pale, too. But something about her expression suddenly reminded me of my mom. Jeez. Sure, I mumbled. I guess. Maybe Leah's still hungry or something. I reached out and took the food with one hand, holding it away at arm's length. I'd go dump it under a tree or something. I didn't want her to feel bad. Then I remembered Edward. Don't you say anything to her. Let her think I ate it. I didn't look at him to see if he was in agreement. He'd better be in agreement. Bloodsucker owed me.
Thank you, Jacob,
Esme said, smiling at me. How did a stone face have dimples, for crying out loud? Thank you, I said. My face felt hot, hotter than usual. This was the problem with hanging out with vampires. You got used to them. They started messing up the way you saw the world. They started feeling like friends.
Will you come back later, Jake?
Bella asked as I tried to make a run for it. I don't know. She pressed her lips together, like she was trying not to smile.
Please? I might get cold.
I inhaled deeply through my nose, and then realized too late that that was not a good idea. I winced. Maybe.
Jacob?
Esme asked. I backed toward the door as she continued. She took a few steps after me.
I left a basket of clothes on the porch. They're for Leah. They're freshly washed. I tried to touch them as little as possible.
She frowned.
Do you mind taking them to her?
On it, I muttered, and then I ducked out the door before anyone could guilt me into anything else. Chapter 15. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Hey, Jake! Thought you said you wanted me at dusk. How come you didn't have Leah wake me up before she crashed?
'Cause I didn't need you. I'm still good. He was already picking up the north half of the circle.
Anything?
Nope. Nothing but nothing.
You did some scouting?
He'd caught the edge of one of my side trips. He headed up the new trail. Yeah, I ran a few spokes. You know, just checking. If the Cullens are going to make a hunting trip.
Good call.
Seth looped back toward the main perimeter. It was easier to run with him than it was to do the same with Leah. Though she was trying hard, there was always an edge to her thoughts. She didn't want to be here. She didn't want to feel the softening toward the vampires that was going on in my head. She didn't want to deal with Seth's cozy friendship with them, a friendship that was only getting stronger. Funny, though, I'd have thought her biggest issue would just be me. We'd always gotten on each other's nerves when we were in Sam's pack, but there was no antagonism toward me now at all, just the Cullens and Bella. I wondered why. Maybe it was simply gratitude that I wasn't forcing her to leave. Maybe it was because I understood her hostility better now. Whichever, running with Leah wasn't nearly as bad as I'd expected. Of course, she hadn't eased up that much. The food and clothes Esme had sent for her were all taking a trip downriver right now. Even after I'd eaten my share, not because it smelled nearly irresistible away from the vampire burn, but to set a good example of self-sacrificing tolerance for Leah, she'd refused. The small elk she'd taken down around noon had not totally satisfied her appetite. Did make her mood worse, though. Leah hated eating raw.
Maybe we should run a sweep east, Seth suggested. Go deep, see if they're out there waiting.
I was thinking about that, I agreed. But let's do it when we're all awake. I don't want to let down our guard. We should do it before the Cullens give it a try, though. Soon.
Right.
That got me thinking. If the Cullens were able to get out of the immediate area safely, they really ought to keep on going. They probably should have taken off the second we'd come to warn them. They had to be able to afford other digs. And they had friends up north, right? Take Bella and run. It seemed like an obvious answer to their problems. I probably ought to suggest that, but I was afraid they would listen to me. And I didn't want to have Bella disappear, to never know whether she'd made it or not. No, that was stupid. I would tell them to go. It made no sense for them to stay, and it would be better. Not less painful, but healthier for me if Bella left. Easy to say now, when Bella wasn't right there, looking all thrilled to see me, and also clinging to life by her fingernails at the same time.
Oh, I already asked Edward about that, Seth thought.
What?
I asked him why they hadn't taken off yet, gone up to Tanya's place or something, somewhere too far for Sam to come after them.
I had to remind myself that I'd just decided to give the Collins that exact advice, that it was best. So I shouldn't be mad at Seth for taking the chore out of my hands. Not mad at all. So what did he say? Are they waiting for a window?
No, they're not leaving.
And that shouldn't sound like good news. Why not? That's just stupid.
Not really,
Seth said, defensive now.
It takes some time to build up the kind of medical access that Carlyle has here. He's got all the stuff he needs to take care of Bella, and the credentials to get more. That's one of the reasons they want to make a hunting run. Carlyle thinks they're going to need more blood for Bella soon. She's using up all the O negative they stored for her. He doesn't like depleting the stockpile. He's going to buy some more. Did you know you can buy blood? If you're a doctor.
I wasn't ready to be logical yet. Still seems stupid. They could bring most of it with them, right? And steal what they need wherever they go. Who cares about legal crap when you're the undead?
Edward doesn't want to take any risks moving her.
She's better than she was.
Seriously,
Seth agreed. In his head, he was comparing my memories of Bella hooked up to the tubes with the last time he'd seen her as he'd left the house. She'd smiled at him and waved.
But she can't move around much, you know? That thing is kicking the hell out of her.
I swallowed back the stomach acid in my throat. Yeah, I know.
Broke another of her ribs,
he told me somberly. My stride faltered, and I staggered a step before I regained my rhythm.
Carlyle taped her up again. Just another crack, he said. Then Rosalie said something about how even normal human babies have been known to crack ribs. Edward looked like he was going to rip her head off.
Too bad he didn't,